Yeah, after. You can have after? It after we're done our video, okay? We're almost done.
Okay, is my sit with Dad?
No.
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to day 7 of our Novena to Our Lady of Sorrows, where we look at the 6th Sorrow of Mary. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're glad you're here. My name is Ken Yuzinski, and this is...
Janelle Yuzinski.
And a special thank you to those on Facebook who are in our group joining us, commenting. A lot of participation, so thank you. And if you've been sitting in the background and you haven't commented yet, what would you say to them, Janelle?
I would just say... We would love to hear from you.
We would. Mm-hmm. And also for those of you who are on Facebook, YouTube, you've been watching the Novena, please share with us your thoughts. What is one thing that you ask people about the videos in the private Facebook groups that the people on YouTube might not know?
I always ask them, is there any way that you can relate with Our Lady's suffering in the certain, whatever particular suffering we're dealing with that day?
So that's the question that we would like you to answer. And it looks like we just had somebody come in. Say hi.
Okay, I just want to share one thing about today's sorrow, which is Mary receiving the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. Again, like I mentioned a couple days ago, every sorrow has also a corresponding gift of the Spirit. And today's corresponding gift of the Spirit is a gift of understanding. Because though nobody understood what was happening, Our Lady understood. Because it would seem so bleak at that very moment, you know, the lifeless body of your son. And yet she understood what was happening.
So let's go to the revelation given by Our Lady to St. Bridget regarding this event.
When he had given up his spirit, his head sank toward his chest, his hands lowered themselves a little from the place of the wounds, and his feet had to bear most of the weight of the body. Then my hands became numb, my eyes were darkened, and my face became pale as a dead man. My ears could hear nothing, my mouth could not speak, my feet trembled, and my body fell to the ground. When I got up from the ground and saw my son looking horribly disfigured and more miserable than a leper, I submitted my entire will to his knowing with certainty that everything had happened according to his will and could not have happened unless he had allowed it. I therefore thanked him for everything, and so there was always some joy mixed with my sadness, because I saw that he, who had never sinned, had in his great love wanted to suffer this much for the sins of mankind. When everyone was going away, a man came and thrust his spear into his side so forcefully that it almost went out the other side. When the spear was pulled out, its point appeared to be red with blood. It seemed to me then, when I saw my beloved son heart pierced, that my own heart had been pierced as well. Then, he was taken down from the cross, and I received his body onto my lap. He looked like a leper, and was completely covered with bruises and blood. His eyes were lifeless and filled with blood, his mouth as cold as ice, his beard like string, his face paralyzed, and his hands were so stiffened that they could not be bent over his chest, but only over his stomach, near the navel. I had him on my knee, just as he had been on the cross, stiffened in all his limbs. One thing that this passage makes me think of is the beautiful statue that Michelangelo did of the Pietà, which is, if you ever go to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and you walk in through the doors, the main doors, it is directly on your right when you walk in. It's absolutely beautiful and striking, but it's of that image of Our Lady holding the lifeless body of Christ.
One thing that strikes me is that it wasn't enough that Jesus had died, but then they had to pierce him with a lance and in one sense then desecrate his holy body. But in this way, we also get a testimony that he indeed was dead. For there's some that would say, well, Jesus never really died on the cross. He was just kind of passed out, and then they took his body down, put it in the grave, and that's why he came back to life, because he really wasn't dead. But we have testimony that Jesus was indeed dead. And even God can take a desecration and bring some good out of it, like a resurrection. There's times also in our life when things may happen to us where our hopes die. It's not that Mary's hope died, but sometimes our hope does. You know, our dreams, what we'd clung on to, now just don't seem possible. And maybe you can look back through your life and you can see dreams that have gone unfulfilled, hopes and desires that you know maybe are just seem out of reach, and you don't see how it's possible, and there's a hopeless situation that maybe you're in. I believe Our Lady knows those hopeless situations, but overcame them. Because throughout the passion of Jesus and holding his lifeless body in her arms, she remained hopeful. How do we know this? All her virtue was intact. The theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. Her hope in the resurrection never failed. Her hope in God never failed. And so you may be in a hopeless situation and you don't know what to do with it. Run to Our Lady of Sorrows, who hoped against all hope. And she can obtain great assistance for us who struggle with despair and hopeless situations. So my friends, say the chaplet, share this video, and Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us.